This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about all the ways not to get screwed in the construction industry. And today we're talking about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, material suppliers and having a consistent collection strategy. And so today I have with me some industry experts on being material suppliers, Core Supply. I have both Philip and Jason. Hey guys, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Carolyn?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. Thank you guys for taking the time and being on the podcast.
Absolutely.
So before we dive into some specific questions, tell us a little about, you know, what Core Supply does, how you got to be in the business. Tell me all the things.
Yeah, so Core Supply was started back in 2010. My brother and I and another business partner of ours started, and we were selling lumber to the concrete contractors. Our background before that, we were all in sales and doing some stuff. So we were dealing on the sales side and selling to some contractors as well as some material providers. We started back in 2010 at a little bitty old location here in Houston. And, you know, over the years, our business has obviously transformed into other areas of rebar fabrication and stuff. But you know, the big thing is we're all dealing in the construction world and the supply chain industry of selling products. And you know, it's just been a good run. And excited to see Core Supply of where it is today.
Awesome. I mean, you've made it since 2010. That's amazing. What about you, Jason?
I grew up here in the Houston area. My background, I was in technical sales in oil and gas. I guess in early, mid 2000s, 2010 or 11, I actually moved into the neighborhood that Preston and Philip were living in and moved in across the street from them. We had young kids at the time, so we spent a lot of time just outside in the cul-de-sac and formed a very good personal relationship. And then within 2 or 3 years, Preston and Philip had approached me about coming to work for them and kind of helping move their sales team forward on the commercial construction side. So I guess that was been 2014, and here we are in 2022 and hadn't looked back.
I'm just curious from a perspective, having started something from the ground up, Philip, about when you started it, did you realize how much of a business you would have to run, or were you just focused on doing the job? I'm curious. That you were good at doing this part of it. I'm just curious.
That's a very, so people always ask me that when I have conversations with other business owners and other people in the industry. And I can honestly say I absolutely had no idea that this is what it would be and take from when we were starting this. You know, when we were starting this, we walked into the local bank there by the neighborhood, open up a checking account, and we were ready to go sell some wood. And that's really all you thought about was sell something, ship it, and try to, you know, collect a check on it. There's just so much more to it as we continue to grow and learn about the industry. And it's unfathomable, truthfully, Jason.
I mean, for sure. I mean, looking back from where we started, we all came from different backgrounds, different careers, and I guess what was so attractive to Core was, hey, we're not going to be, this isn't going to be a corporate style job. We're going to work hard and play hard. And, you know, leaving a professional environment, a corporate environment for a lot of us here, that was very attractive. But I guess, unfortunately, the larger you get, the more employees that you bring on, the more that's at risk. We were forced to implement a lot of processes and procedures. So yeah, we operate in more of a corporate environment now than we've ever had to, and just managing people isn't something that we all signed up for. But that's definitely that's part of the job now.
Yeah, your job wouldn't be so hard if there weren't so many people involved. I completely understand. So I mean, Philip, so when you started out, were you actually out there delivering things?
Yeah, so I was not. I did every aspect of the company except deliveries. We were outsourcing all the deliveries, but you know, I was driving the forklift, to pulling the orders, to inputting it into QuickBooks, to you know, getting the lumber inbound freight. You know, calling truck drivers saying, "Hey, we have load in Mississippi. I got to get it to Houston." And then once it gets to Houston, you got to call a different delivery driver to get it delivered to the customer base. So no, we did from A to Z all the way through the whole process. And to be honest with you, that's definitely helped me appreciate to where we are today, seeing the progress and seeing where everything has grown to today, knowing what all the hard work it was and how everything ran back then. I definitely appreciate it. You know, they always say when you start a business, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in it. And there's definitely some truth into that. You know, there was pretty much when it first started, I would get to the office around 3 a.m. and get ready to make all the deliveries and pull all the orders to get it on the truck. Then you run upstairs, you answer phones, you input the data in the QuickBooks system. So it was definitely a nonstop from the ground up. You know, we didn't have anybody, family members or relatives or parents that were in the industry. So we just started it from the ground up, scrounged up a bunch of money, what we could. In fact, my brother lived with my mom. I went and lived with my in-laws, had little kids at that time. So that was definitely an interesting time in our lives when CORE was starting. The stories we could talk about go on and on from back in the day.
I mean, but that's what makes it yours, right? That's what makes it your passion, is you've seen it start from something, you know, when you're entering in. So when's the last time you pulled an order?
I can always tell. It's been a minute, but I can tell when Phillip's really stressed because he'll try to go hop on that forklift, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. For sure. No, I still, if I have time, which is hardly ever, if I walk by and see somebody out there pulling something, I'll try to give them a hand. But unfortunately, those times are over. There's a lot of other stuff going on. But I'll still get on a forklift. My claim to fame to all the employees outside is I'll beat anybody on a forklift. That's for sure. I'm the best forklift driver at CORE.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So as a material supplier, how big of a component is your collection strategy?
Jason, I'll let you answer that.
Yeah. It's gotten to be a lot, to be honest. And, you know, it's talking about where we started and now where we're at today, you just look up and you see how valuable credit is. And unfortunately, early on, we were having to just extend credit to people to be able to get business. It was a way to come into the market. You know, it was either extending people credit that probably weren't qualified to have credit, competitive pricing, or service. And that's really what we were trying to work our way into. But then you look up and, you know, our day-to-day business has transitioned more into the commercial side, if you will. Where you're having to file the material notifications to make sure you get paid. It's become really the bloodline of our company. We've realized that's probably the biggest exposure to CORE is the collection process. So I get sick at my stomach talking about some of the early stories where we were shipping truckloads of material out to job sites where we had never really met anybody, didn't have proper credit applications. We were just doing business on a handshake, to be honest. And thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars going out the door. And we really had no protection rights at that time. So, again, I'd say probably over the last 6 or 7 years, we've become more passionate about our collection process than we are selling any material.
Yeah, for sure. And my short answer to your question, Carolyn, is I spend half of my time every single week in that department and trying to collect and dealing with the collection process. That's probably where I spend most of my time on a daily basis, truthfully, is in that department.
Cash is the lifeblood of any business.
Cash is the lifeblood. And, you know, unfortunately, with what goes on out there in the construction world and dealing with it, there's just nobody in my mind that will look after my money like myself. So I'm very passionate, and I'll always stay in that department and in that lane here in the business of CORE, trying to deal with it, because cash is king. If, as a material provider, you have to collect money to then be able to go out and repurchase more material, to store more inventory, to sell more inventory, and you got to collect the money. It's a vicious cycle. So if you're not collecting money, there's CORE is not here for sure.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, everybody is relying on you for a paycheck, right? And we have to go make sure that we get paid for the things that we've done.
Yeah.
So what were some of the things that you changed on the front end to make the collections process easier or more streamlined or protect yourself?
I feel like early on, look, anytime you extend credit, you're always going to have some collection problems. And I feel like early on, there may have been somebody every few months that would take us all the way out to 120 days. And it was always the 12th hour. We were dealing with another third party law firm, and it was the 12th hour of the cutoff date that we were, you know, running down to the courthouse or whatnot, trying to implement some sort of right. We had really no other background information on the particular account or job, but it just got to the point where we were like, you know, it's putting us at so much risk, and our transaction volume went up so much. We just all kind of got together and said, look, we have to slow down this process. If anything's going to take down CORE, it's going to be a customer or two that's not going to pay us. So, yeah, early on, we just said there's too much risk. There's too much exposure. It's not worth losing out on getting funded. We've just got to go through the appropriate steps.
You know, and the process started, obviously, with making sure we have the right credit application, starting with the credit application, to then getting job information sheets, and then, you know, teaming up with someone like yourself to partner up with and to start that collection process of really understanding and knowing the rules and the laws and the procedures of how everything works in the collection process. A lot of people say, oh, it's just a simple process, and yeah, I'll get you a check when I can, and there's not much to it, what they don't think. And when you start unpacking all this, is how much goes into the process of collections, all the way from the credit app, all the way from a job info sheet to collecting a check or taking a payment by credit card and stuff like that. So definitely.
Well, it's having the same process, whether or not it becomes a collection issue.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
And yet, like, even though such a small fraction actually become, you have to be ready for the ones that are, right?
Correct.
And so another pushback I always get is like, okay, how do you deal with your customers and your customer service and then your collection strategy? What is your guys' point of view on that? I know that's another hot topic.
Yeah, it's a fine line. You have to walk with as a material provider. I mean, our customer base is obviously out there doing their jobs, and they're trying to do their due diligence and to provide a good service to their customer, the general contractor, as they're doing all their concrete work. So, you know, we know there's hiccups along the way of projects, of when they get funded on stuff like that, so for them to be able to fund us as a material provider. So it's really just working with the customer base and really understanding who they are and trying to have that relationship with them. And it really starts there, the relationship with the customer at the ground level, being able to understand what their needs are. But, you know, when customers get out there and start taking on more work and kind of overextend their sales, I'm constantly monitoring their purchases against their aging report. And obviously the big thing on the aging report is really what time frame did they purchase the material? What month was it in? And you're just it's a constant balance. I mean, as you know, customers can get upset when you cut them off. But that's part of business. Unfortunately, that sometimes you have to draw the line in the sand and just say we can no longer issue more credit. And, you know, to their defense, they're taking on a different project, and maybe the payment has something to do with a completely different project of what they're trying to order. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to look at their account as a whole and not by a project by project basis.
Karen, I think one of the questions you asked is, early on, we had our salesmen involved in the collection process. And that definitely put them in a difficult spot. You know, we were setting them up like they were almost running their own business, and collections was a key part of that as well. They had the relationship with the office personnel and more than likely the person that placed that order. But as we've evolved into this, we've removed them from that process. We have our back office team, our executive team, and obviously Philip and I very, very involved in that. And I think that's advanced it as well. We try to remind the salesmen that they need to be in contact with everybody in that process. There's a lot of times maybe the person that's not ordering the material isn't paying the bill, but if they're in the office, it's just a reminder of what we're trying to work through and collect.
No, absolutely. And I think from the position of a material supplier, if your client truly isn't getting paid, you sending the notices are a good thing. Usually that'll shake money loose for everybody if they really haven't been paid.
For sure. I think in core, we've been very successful to date. And there's a lot of customers that we don't have to do business with anymore. And that's helped us a lot as well. We don't ever try to leverage ourselves too far on the aging report with one customer base taking a big percentage of our aging report out. So it's not as difficult, I feel like, at times to cut people off or just say, hey, we're going to slow down here. We need to get some stuff cleaned up before we continue to move forward with you guys.
For sure.
Let me ask you this question. Would CORE have grown to the size that it is today, which is, you know, huge, without extending credit?
No, absolutely not. The quick and easy answer is no. To grow your business as a material provider in our industries, you have to extend credit. And as a business owner myself, that's what I lose a lot of sleep at night, is the amount of credit that we have extended. I remember laying in bed back in 2011, 2012, stressing about, you know, $50,000 on the aging report, you know, credit. Now I'm laying on bed and it's $10 million on the aging report. And at the end of the day, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, you know, in sales, you want to go sell, you want to drive revenue, but with that comes credit and comes risk of collections for sure.
And again, as we've grown, I feel like we've done a good job of having awareness of where we are in the food chain, if you will, right? But we also have a great perspective of the entire process. And I think that's where we've really excelled, Philip, is look, we know we're just the little supplier. You know, there's 100 other material suppliers that these guys can go get material from. But we've also looked all the way up from the owner of the project to the general contractor to the subcontractor. And we really know what the whole cycle is and what value we bring as a material supplier. It's not only for the material, but it's for the bank. And look, we've got some great customers that we've been doing business with for 10 or 11 years. A lot of them wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for us either. Because, we've got assets. We can go get lines of credit. A lot of the subcontractors don't have that capability. So they're really relying on a material supplier to help them cash flow their projects. So, we see value in that, and we make sure we bring that up in our sales process. At the same time, if we're not collecting, we can't go buy more material to go sell more material.
Correct.
So you got to wash both ends. So you got to extend credit to make money to grow the business. So how much do you think perfecting your lien rights and having a consistent collection strategy has improved or made you feel more comfortable about extending credit?
Yeah, no, it's definitely has tremendously relieved the collection process for us, having someone like y'all in this collection process. You know, to be honest with you, I think we've been doing this probably for 5 years where we fully understand it and can fully track it. And the banks have actually come to us within the last 5 years and had multiple meetings with myself wanting to know how come our bad debt is so low in relation to the total revenue of the company. And definitely I always bring up the number one thing is understanding your rights and being associated with somebody like yourself to watch over it and to follow the process. So it's definitely been the number one key component to collections and the debt of what's in the company for sure, being able to team up with somebody like y'all.
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, especially from the material supplier's perspective, you're, you know, as far as payment goes, it starts from the owner, goes to the general, goes to the sub, and then goes to you. It's got to make it through a lot of hands before it gets
absolutely.
You. So what would you say to somebody that in the construction as a material supplier that doesn't think they need to have a collection strategy?
Just a matter.
Or your earlier self before you had
one. No, it's a matter of time. And like we've talked about, it's, I mean, Phil, what line have we heard day in and day out? I mean, I feel like we've heard every excuse in the book about not getting paid. And some of them we can probably talk about, some of them we probably shouldn't share.
Right.
you know, when a subcontractor or a general contractor puts themselves in a situation and the terminology that we hear in the industry is they start robbing Peter to pay Paul and they're trying to dig themselves out of a hole. They're going to latch on to anybody around them, just like somebody, you know, drowning in the deep end, and they're going to pull whoever down, whoever else they can grab, they're going to pull them down with you. So, look, we've done a good job of distancing ourselves from that, not getting exposed to it. But, yeah, if you're not protecting your rights, it's just a matter of time, I feel like, before somebody's going to pull you down and take you out of business.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. I was a business owner that was operating on handshakes and going by people's word because that's how I live my everyday life. Truthfully is, you know, I do what I say. And the customer always will tell us, hey, I've never not paid you. I've never burned anybody. And unfortunately I've learned through the years as a material supplier that, they only say that until the time they do finally burn you, because then they're not buying from you ever again, once they burn you. But there is no way as a business owner and being a material provider that you cannot have somebody on your team and in your process and procedures to be able to operate and to be a sustainable company long term without those process of collections for sure. So if somebody's out there looking to start a business, I know everybody's eager to the sales side of it and to start up a company. But, you know, looking back, if I would have told myself, I probably would have slowed up from the beginning to really understand what I was getting myself into as a material provider and how the process works of collecting money. Because like Jason said, it's truly only a matter of time. You know, we see companies going out of business every single month, Jason. We're hearing all the horror stories. And if you want to protect your rights, you got to know how to navigate it. And you got to understand what the process is for sure.
So let me ask you this, guys, you know, it's been, especially in lumber, the price has gone up and down and up and down. How has that affected your collections? Have you seen anything? How has it affected sales? I'm curious.
Well, it's, Carolyn, you brought up the lumber, but it's also been the steel as well. And that started back in 2017 when President Trump was elected. He immediately implemented the 232 tariff. So that was a 25% cost increase on goods just overnight. So that's really when our battle, if you will, started, was from 2017. And it really hasn't loosened up until probably 3 or 4 months ago. There was a little stability, but We've been dealing with cost increases from 2017, and that's a difficult situation when you're dealing with a subcontractor that isn't passing those costs of goods on to the general contractor or to the owner. So, again, that's where we feel like we've been in a good spot because we've had executed contracts in place, and we've kept up with our material notifications. You get to the end of the line, and maybe a customer hasn't had that difficult conversation with the GC about getting paid, or it's unsettled, and there's always a disputed amount of money there at the end that we're being owed.
Correct.
And then you end up taking on their collection battle?
Yes.
Absolutely. I would say half the time, we're probably 50% of the time, we're taking on the collection battle for our customer as well. You know, as a material provider, you know, our customer is the concrete subcontractor.
But the owner or the general contractor is the one that's paying us.
Absolutely. I mean,
let's be honest. It's just a pass-through. So that's usually where we go first. We don't try to get in the middle of contract negotiation between the subcontractor and the general contractor, but the general contractor's cutting the check. So that's who we immediately talk to and understand where they are in the payment process and work our way down from that.
Yeah, more times than not, our customer base appreciates us because at the end of the day, that helps them get paid when you send a material notification. The times that they get very upset and very defensive, that's probably because they've been paid and now it kind of tips everybody off. But at the end of the day, our process and our procedures is protecting our customer base for them to get paid ultimately over half the time.
Now, I agree completely. And I think that you can work hand in hand with subcontractors who haven't been paid and they can say, hey, you know, my material supplier is going to move forward filing their liens. You should probably make sure that they're paid.
Correct.
And to the extent that you're paid, that's a deduction from what they're owed, right?
Yep. And it's alarming too. As long as we've been doing this, how many subcontractors that we deal with that really don't have a good understanding of this process.
Or how to manage money or job costing or the fact if they sign a contract for a price, they have to honor that price.
Absolutely. That hit them.
And then it becomes your battle.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes on our plate when we're trying to collect our invoice for the material that they purchased.
So we reminded them through all these cost increases is your whatever contract you're signing, those terms and conditions need to align with what your supplier's terms and conditions are.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't promise this price if you, unless you buy it in advance, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. All right, guys, is there anything I left out you feel like you want to mention about material suppliers, collection strategies, just starting your own construction company in general?
Jason, you got anything? I'll let you go first.
I can't think of anything offhand. Look, it's difficult starting something, especially in this particular industry where we didn't have a history of it. We didn't have a reputation of it. Look, nobody was just picking up the phone, calling Core Supply to order material. We had to go out and get it. So I wouldn't take back any way of that we've earned business and extending credit. But I think the most important thing, and look, you got to have growth to be able to get into it. I think it's just to slow down and really understand the actions that you're taking and what you're doing. Again, Philip and I always, we trust first, I feel like. And at the end of the day, if you're extending credit out to somebody and there's no protection there, there's a very good likelihood that somebody by choice could just walk away and not pay you. And I feel like that's theft, right? But there's laws that are written out there that protect subcontractors and general contractors. So I guess at the end of the day, I would just say you need to slow down and make sure that the way that you're operating your business is you've got some layers of protection there as well.
Yeah, you know, we always say in the full cycle of a business, the sale is not complete unless you collect the payment for the material that you sold. And the most important thing in that process is definitely understanding your rights, knowing what the process and the procedures of how it works, and truthfully aligning yourself with a company like y'all that can have our back and check our process and procedures, and you team up with a team to try to smooth the process out, because it is a very, I would say, manipulative system almost, in a way that people can find all these loopholes and find all these things that they can, the nooks and crannies to get in, and to be able to have all this up and process and procedures to prevent all that is definitely the key to the completing the sale.
Sure. And I feel like early on with a lot of other stuff that we've done too, it seemed like a lot of this stuff was overkill. Well,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's manageable early on when you're only servicing 25 customers a month, but when it's 200 a month and it's 600, 800 transactions, what process, what procedure do you have in place? I mean, you're just treading water at that point. So again, I'd slow down. I'd create the processes and procedures, know the ins and outs of what you need to do to run your business.
Sure.
Awesome, guys. So if people want to know more about Core Supply and reach you guys, how would they do that?
Our website's www.thecoresupply.com. I think there's a Instagram and Facebook link on the website. We're here.
We'll put it all in the show notes too.
Sure. Yeah, we're here. Our corporate headquarters is up on the north side of Houston, around the Hardy Toll Road in 1960 area. We have three other locations. One in East Texas that services the East Texas, North Texas, Western Louisiana market. We've got another location in Fort Worth that services the Dallas, Fort Worth, Oklahoma regions. And then we have one in Hutto that really focuses on the Central Texas stuff. So,
awesome. You guys are doing a great job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Thank you.